Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
All right, let's talk some college football. Chris Lowe joins us every Friday for a couple of segments at CLO ESPN on Twitter. Chris, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Brent. Good to be with you, man.
Tennessee, Florida. We'll talk more about this in a little bit and get your pick at that point. But I do want to get an early read from you this week. It doesn't feel the same. Both teams struggling, trying to find direction, let's say.
Well, in a transition year, you know, two first-year coaches. And really the teams mirror each other, Brent. They both have had a terrible time getting anything, generating any kind of continuity in the offensive line. Both quarterbacks have not had a lot of protection. Franks at Florida, Garantano at Tennessee. They've been spotty running the football. So when you look at the two teams, they really, I think that from that perspective, they mirror each other. And I really think that whoever can play the best and hold up best in the offensive line will win this game. Both got to go out and create depth, build depth. You do that recruiting. You don't do that overnight. I think Florida, I was down there for a couple of days this preseason. You know, some of their skill positions, I think they've got some good players. But the thing that Mullen does and has done throughout his entire career is he's been able to develop quarterbacks and coach quarterbacks, but he also evaluates quarterbacks real well. And that's something, again, that's probably going to happen over the next couple of years, is getting the kind of quarterback in there that he wants, fits his system, and the guy that he feels like he can develop and coach up and be the kind of player he wants.
Chris, it's been an interesting week in Nashville. Derek Mason is wearing a work shirt, talking about street fights. He's challenging he's challenging Brian Kelly to come and visit him in Nashville. And then now South Carolina rolls in, dude. It's just been a heck of a week over here.
Well, at least nobody's talking, not that Derek's talking smack, but at least it's not Alabama getting ready to play. So that's always a bad strategy, getting ready to play Alabama. I think Vanderbilt sort of fanned that out last year. But listen, I think it's a confident Vanderbilt team. They played really well enough to win last week at Notre Dame. And when you watch this team this year compared to certainly the last four or five games last year, they're a much better defensive football team. They're playing, I think, with more – they just look more crisp on that side of football. When you've got a quarterback like Shermer, who's experienced, who can get you in a bad situations and into good situations, like the way he processes things. And he's a play quarterback. Everybody talks about arm talent, but, you know, he's a quick thinker. You know, he gets rid of the football. So a lot of ingredients there. Derek's improved the depth. This is the kind of game, though, at home against a good football team. I know that South Carolina was dominated in the second half against Georgia, but I think Georgia's going to do that to a lot of teams. But this is the kind of game in conference that if Vanderbilt can win, boy, what you talk about momentum and a springboard to really get them to a point where you start thinking bowl game this year, it would be a huge win for Derek and his program.
It's interesting. I was reading an article about, you know, can Bama be tested? And then I looked at the spread. It's like 27.5 points. I mean, this week maybe they get tested, and still the spread's almost 30 points, man.
Somewhere along the way, somebody will test them. I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I just was there, spent a couple of days in Alabama, and met with Coach Saban yesterday. And you know, he's never going to say it, but you can tell that he knows how good they are on offense and how explosive they are. And, in fact, he told me it's probably as good as they've ever been around the quarterback at skill positions. No, they're not. You know, the offensive line, they're a little thin. Maybe they've been a little bit better, a little bit had more bruisers up front in some years. And, of course, that's taken the quarterback out of the equation. Tua Tagovailoa is just absolutely lights out. You know, I got to watch him practice yesterday. You know, Nick says they're going to still play both those guys. At least that's the plan going forward, and I think they will. But talking about Lloyd's a quarterback record. He unlocks that offense the way really nobody has since Saban's been there, as far as passing the football and spreading it around. He's got great hands. That's the thing Saban was telling me. He says, you know, the thing about him is he's got such big, strong, just really good hands. He can finesse the football. He's got great touch. He can fit it in tight windows. And watching him, so I was watching practice with Gary Danielson, the CBS calling guy yesterday, and he was asking me that I think Tua was taller than Drew Brees. I think he is a little bit, but not a lot. Yeah. But he's really thick and strong to the core and really powerful legs and can really throw. I mean, you talk about a guy that can sling the football and make all the throws. He's a lot of fun to watch play. And the thing he does is he spreads it around. I mean, they've got, again, this is Coach Saban talking, not me. They've got three or four receivers that can play for anybody. Both their tight ends are really good. And then they've got running backs that all are a little bit different. You know, you look at all those running backs. Going to be tough to beat, and they're going to have to play. They're going to have to help somebody. They're going to have one of those games. Well, you go back to the last time they lost there in Bryant-Denny Stadium. I guess that was to Ole Miss a few years ago when they lost a turnover battle 5-0. I think it's probably going to take one of those kind of games this year to beat them, for somebody else to beat them.
Still almost came back and won that game. Michael Casagrande on Twitter. Nick Saban said he sometimes has to tolerate some things from the press, but he really likes Chris Lowe of ESPN.
Wow.
That's a nice
that
thing.
Is amazing.
What in the world?
That is beautiful.
You know, I did,
you might have
I
to get that one framed.
Show last night. I was in town for an interview with him and hung around last night. I tell you, his radio show, and he's done that since he was down at LSU, is really good. He does it at Baumhauer's Wings there in Tuscaloosa. And it's an hour deal, and he comes in, he takes questions, follow questions from the audience. And the cool thing is, during the breaks, guys, he gets up, and he goes out and walks around the crowd and signs autographs and takes pictures. And he does this every Thursday night during the season, a home game or away game. And he's done this ever since he's been there. And fans will start lining up there at that restaurant to get in, because you can't get near the place, to get in and get a seat earlier that day. It's like, you know, and when he shows up, you think Elvis is getting ready to come into the building. But it's a lot of fun. You know, I guess that's the translation to me is I've been around for a long time, because coaches are all creatures of habit. They want to deal with people they've dealt with and talked to for a long time. I guess I'm one of those dinosaurs that's hung around long enough to cover college football that Nick actually knows who I am.
Hey, Chris, quick one for you. One of the most intriguing teams to me this year has been LSU. They go and whoop up on the Canes week one, and then they go into Auburn this last week and beat them at home. Are they for real, or just a couple good wins out there?
Well, I mean, you can make an argument that they've done more than anybody else in college football at this point. I mean, are they the best team? No, I think Alabama and Georgia are two of the best teams I've seen, right up there with Clemson and Ohio State. But boy, you're right. I mean, you know, is Miami a top 10 team? They were when they beat them. You know, what about Auburn? Well, they went to Auburn and won. So, I mean, you start looking at resumes. Who's got a better resume in college football right now than LSU? I tell you what they are. They're really good on defense. Burrow, their quarterback, is not turning the football over. He's making good decisions. Now, he hasn't been, his numbers aren't, you know, don't jump out at you, but he's been steady and has given them, I think, some confidence on that side of football. And the other thing they are is you could tell Ed Ogeron is a lot more settled with his coaching staff, with the guys around him. I think Ensminger, the offensive coordinator, is a guy that he feels very comfortable with. And LSU did what they had to do in making sure they kept Dave Aranda on defense, their defensive coordinator, who's one of the best defensive minds in all of college football. I mean, listen, they're going to be in every game because of how good they are defense. They've got their linebacker, Devin White, is as good a linebacker as in college football. I saw somebody this weekend. They said he looks a lot like Reuben Foster, the way he just is relentless in the way he pursues and hits. I like him a lot. The good news is they've got their tough games at home. The bad news is they got to play Georgia still, Alabama still, and Mississippi State. Now, all those games are in Baton Rouge, but it's just hard for me to believe they're going to be able to get to all those games unscathed. But you know what? If they go 2-1, I think their resume and their schedule is tough enough
where they could still get in the playoff with one loss.
Chris, is Missouri good enough to test Georgia this weekend?
No, I just don't think they can slow them down. And they may score on them, but I just have a hard time believing they're going to be able to slow down enough to beat them. You know, as I've been telling you guys now for weeks, I don't know who the second or third best team in the East is. I know who the best team is, and that's Georgia. And I think that'll be will play out again this weekend. Georgia's just they really do look like Alabama East, the way he stockpiled talent, how good and deep they are in the lines of scrimmage. And I don't care who leaves at running back. It seems like every year they still got a guy that looks like the guy or guys the year before, and then they've got two quarterbacks that are they're both playing well and complement each other. That's the thing. You know, you look at Clemson and Georgia and Alabama, and they're all three of the top five teams in college football. All three of them are playing two quarterbacks right now.
All right, Tennessee, Florida. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, like I told you earlier, it's they mirror each other, and it's been a struggle offensively at the front. You know, I know Pruitt felt like in the preseason, he told me anyway, that when it all came together for the offensive line, that they were going to be pretty good. Because remember, Trey Smith didn't do much at all during fall camp. And I think you're going to see him gradually get back to being a dominant football player. And you got to play together. I think Tennessee will play better in the offensive line. They've got to give Garantano some better protection than they did have at this point. This is going to be, you know, this will be the best defense they play. Florida's better than West Virginia. I think Tennessee, though, at home, will be able to run the football a little bit. I do think they will play better than the defensive line. And I think the home crowd, the away game, that environment, that Florida, Garantano, will make some mistakes. It will force them into some mistakes and set up the offense. And I think that's the difference. Hey, you got to pick Tennessee, right? 20th anniversary of one of the more famous games for Tennessee in the last 34 years when they beat the Gators in 1998 to sort of precipitate that national championship. And as I said earlier this week on a radio show, you could almost hear or you could almost envision, Brent, this game coming down to a missed field goal late and Tennessee winning. And from the heavens, you could hear John Ward saying, "No, sir-ree."
Speaking of that 20-year anniversary of that 98 team, what sticks out to you most? What Philip Fulmer's going to be on later. What sticks out most to you from that season? Because there were so many moments.
Yeah, I'm going to get to see a lot of those guys later tonight. They're having a bunch of functions and celebrations to commemorate that, and I look forward to seeing them because I covered that team. That was my second year as a Tennessean and have had a chance to keep up with all those guys over the years. But just the camaraderie and the chemistry on that team. You know, Peerless Price told me earlier this year that no team he's played on before that team or since that team, and he played 10 years in the NFL, played for each other the way that team did. And they really did. I mean, this is a cliche. Teams talk about having chips on their shoulder. That team did have a chip on its shoulder. And nothing against Peyton or Leonard Little, but they got tired of hearing about how their window had closed because Peyton was gone and Leonard Little was gone. You know, Al and Peerless and Fred White and those guys said, listen, they looked around. We still got a lot of good football players on this team. This is not the University of Peyton Manning or the University of Leonard Little. And then they came together and won a lot of close games. I know everybody talks about the Arkansas game and Sterner fumbling, but go back and watch that play. Billy Rattles, the one that made that play. I mean, he absolutely exploded into Brandon Burlesworth, who'd been kicking his butt all game. Billy will tell you that. That's about the only play Billy made all game against him, but it was the biggest play of the game, and he sort of stumbled back and stepped on Clint's foot, and the rest is history. But they just had a knack for making those kind of plays, you know, over and over again, and, you know, in the biggest games, they got it done. And I'll never forget Al Wilson after the championship game. He hugged his teammates, hugged his coaches, and went to the locker room by himself. And he sat there, and he said he just bawled and cried. And thanking God for being able in his last season, being a Tennessee boy growing up in Jackson, you know, to get to that peak and to give, in his words, Tennessee fans something they could always hold on to and something he could always hold on to, and that was a national championship. I mean, I still, when I hear him talk about that now, and we talked about it earlier this year, I mean, those are the things I remember about that team.
Very well put, my friend. Good stuff, Chris. We appreciate it. Have fun tonight, and we'll talk with you on Monday about all of this stuff that we just talked about today.
You bet. You guys take care.
All right, Chris Lowe, ESPN.com, @CLOWESPN.